Welcome to the At Leisure Podcast. This is a show about sports, video games, movies, and just basically the things we do with our leisure time. We are back talking college football, and we have two mainstays with us. Brady, how you been?
I've been good. Just hanging out, watching the end of the season.
And then we have Return of the King and original co-host, Ashton, or better known as AG. Glad to have you back, dude.
Yeah, good to be back, man. Recovering from that Texas loss still, but we're here.
Yeah, it was a valiant effort. It was a good game.
No, yeah. Heck, I was shocked we even, yeah. Shout out to Dylan Johnson. Yeah, but
I'm glad that the fame hadn't gotten to your head and you can come back to this lowly podcast and we can talk some college football.
The man of the people, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I guess let's start off with the big news that dropped yesterday. Nick Saban has retired. And guys, if a playoff appearance for Bama was the price we had to pay to get him to retire, I say it was worth it.
I don't know. I guess it's kind of – they've acted like been in the works or rumored, you know, to be happening. But still, like, I don't know. He probably won't see anybody else like him, you know. Maybe eventually during a lifetime. But greatest of all time, I would say. I mean, I'm obviously biased for, like, our lifetime, you know. But
Well, you can't remember Bear Bryant to compare him to?
Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you know. But I saw, like, something today – it was like if you went to school there as a student within the last 20 years, like you won a national championship at some point because like at least every 4 years you won at least one. So just insane stats.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's the GOAT. He's definitely the GOAT of the 14 playoffs. He was the best to do it, best to ever do it now because it's over. So I don't know. It was very weird to hear. Like, everyone was talking about it, and I definitely thought it was just rumors. But then when it happened, it was kind of like, whoa, like, that just, like, it's real now. And so I can't say I'm upset. I'm ready for college football to take on a new leader or hopefully just more parity. But he definitely, I mean, you got to respect what he did. He won one of one.
Absolutely. And it's funny because, you know, every year, you know, if you guess, hey, this guy might retire this year. He's going to retire eventually. So I felt like that rumor had happened like maybe 5 years in a row now. But for it to actually happen was crazy. And poor Pete Carroll, man, stealing his thunder. Same day. I saw like the news Pete Carroll was retiring and he has like such a moving speech at the end. Have you seen Pete Carroll talk about retiring? Dude, it's so good. You should just look it up. He's thanking people. I love listening to Pete Carroll talk because he's like so genuine. And honestly, Saban is pretty good to listen to also. I think he has a pretty good philosophy to life and coaching style. And I don't know how much of it's bullcrap or not, but like the way he talks, like if you lived by how he talked, it's good stuff. But it was just funny because he had that press conference and then almost immediately Saban retired. And I didn't hear anything about Pete Carroll the rest of the day.
So yeah, I haven't even seen that video. So you're right. Exactly. It definitely took his thunder. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just crazy.
And then Belichick today, they're just kicking all these old men to the nursery home.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
These legends, though. I just want to read some things about Nick Saban here. You know, you can find it on ESPN. You can find it on Twitter or, you know, wherever you're looking. But this dude, so he won at least 10 games in 16 straight seasons at Alabama. That's the longest streak by any program in the AP era, which is like 1936 or something. Can you imagine winning 10 games every year? And like it's an insane, it's an insane stat to me. He never had a losing season. In anywhere he coached, he never had a losing season. Toledo, he was 9-2. Michigan State was probably his rougher years. He was 34-24 there. But then LSU, 49-16. And then Alabama, obviously 201-29. So just insane stuff, man. And so this is, you know, he's winning these games and that's in the SEC. Like I'm a Big 12 homer, but I can acknowledge that the SEC partly because of Saban is become the best conference in football. And he's winning like that at the best conference against the best competition. He played 107 games against AP ranked opponents. And that's 14 more than any other program in that time. And he's still getting 10 wins a season. You know, it's just insane what he was doing. He's had 49 players selected in the first round. 44 of them were from Alabama. And that's the most of any coach. And then he had 123 total picks. So it's like most of his teams had 4 to 5 pros on it, if not more. You know, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, you want to go pro, you just go play for Saban. Mm-hmm. Just go be a 4 or 5-star recruit. You know, that's pretty much what it is. I just wanted to point out that, like, at early on, I remember Saban, I would critique Alabama because I was just like, I would like someone else to win, but they would win by defense. And then they didn't have a quarterback for a while that was like anything but more than like a system quarterback. And then, like, he saw that the game was changing to offense, and he changed. He got, you know, I think it was Lane Kiffin. I don't remember who he hired, but it was like an offensive mind. And then, boom, he's 180'd into offensive football, you know, because that's what it is. He just adapted, and just obviously just got so much talent in there. So crazy that he was in our lifetime. Glad it's over for now. I mean, I'm pretty tired of how dominant he was. So I think it's been documented he retired because the changes to college football were too much for him. And I mean, honestly, that's understandable. This round probably was not much fun for him. So
yeah, that's what I saw. Like, today they were interviewing him and he asked him like what his next adventure was going to be or whatever. And he said, like, you know, being a host is one thing he could do, you know, like a game host or whatever, as far as like on game day or something. And then he's like, another option would be like, try to figure out the parameters for this transfer portal on NIL, like try to be like a chairman almost, because it's obviously
really
something wrong with it. Yeah. I mean, not like quoting as far as chairman, but yeah, he said, to help fix, you know, NIL and transfer portal, like try to put some parameters around it.
I would love that. Really?
Yeah. Well, let me see if I can find the exact quote, but yeah, something similar to that.
We just need somebody who knows what they're doing up there, and people would listen to him.
Absolutely. I do think it's kind of funny that this is what did him in, because let's be honest, before NIL, he was giving people money and stuff.
Surely,
and
right?
After hearing what they said about Michigan, they're like, everyone's cheating. Like, the only program not cheating is Vanderbilt. And funny enough, I kind of believe them. But it's just like, now that it's not in the dark and everyone is able to do it out loud, it's like, now he's done. I don't know. It's just kind of funny to me because it's like, I feel like you've been doing this a long time, mm-hmm. Saban. I just feel like now everyone can openly recruit with that, mm-hmm. opposed to just doing it in the background.
Yeah. And I think it's more like the transfer portal that he's probably like, because I think he said, I think he said before that came out, like, this isn't good. I realize everybody's pushing this because they think it's going to make teams be able to compete with Alabama, but in reality, it's just going to make us stronger because we're just going to be able to pull in, you know. All right, A&M's got a good player. All right, we'll take him, you know, like that kind of. I guess it depletes your depth kind of, but.
I was going to say, I think it actually strong, did. Though. I think it did hurt him. So.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure. And I think, like, not as much in football, but you've seen it in basketball, like Jay Wright retired, you know, like just coaches that just, yeah, realize it's not a – not the same as it used to be.
You almost have to pander to the player more. They have so much power, you know?
Yeah. But you got to recruit your own guys now. Like,
yeah, you know,
every time you walk in the locker, I'm like, hey, you're not playing tonight, but it's okay. You know, like, your time's coming.
And they're like, yeah, it is, coach. I'm out of here.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, yo, it's baby. Coming out of a different school. You're right.
I'm coming back to beat you.
Yeah.
I think, like anything else, it has its positive side and its negative side. And I definitely don't blame him. That is a very big change. And at the end of your career, is that something you really want to bother with too much and risk? Like, I'm not saying he would be risking much, but if he was struggling with it legitimately, he's risking his incredible career and making it where those losses pile up to maybe a third of his wins, you know?
Yeah.
He'd had to lose a lot for that to happen.
I know. I was trying to figure out a number that would be reasonable, and I just don't think there is. But.
Well, what do y'all think happens next? Who do you think gets hired? Or tell me who you think would get hired, and then tell me who you would hire. Mm-hmm. Us just sitting on the couch kind of away from it, but just from the outside.
It sounded like originally it was going to be Dan Lanning or whatever out of Oregon, but I guess he's came out since then and said no, you know. But from what I saw today, it looks like probably Washington's coach DeBoer or I think it's DeBoer.
Yeah, you better get it right. They're gonna roast
Bauer, whoever. Right. talking to you, Nike.
I think it's DeBoer. Anyways, yeah.
DeBoer. There we go. All right. DeBoer or Florida State's coach, Norvell, which is kind of surprising to me. I thought they'd go like the Saban tree route, like hire Kiffin or Sarkisian, maybe, but
mm-hmm.
I don't
know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Who'd I know that this.
Who would you pick? Who do you think?
Go ahead.
You didn't say who you thought they were going to get and who you
okay, well, who I think they'll get, I guess it sounds like the Washington coach probably because I mean, realistically, I thought anybody besides probably Harbaugh or Kirby, I thought they could get because both of them are at their schools where they went to. So you're probably not leaving there.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, though, I think you could – I mean, if you wanted like Ryan Day, you know, I think you could pull him in. Not saying they do, but, you know, I'm just an example.
Right.
I think if they wanted Sark, they could get him. But I guess it sounds like the Washington coach is probably – that seems like a job that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you would take, which I'm surprised Lanning turned it down if he really did. I don't know. I mean, there ain't no telling. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, it sounds like the Washington coach is probably who, in my opinion, who they will hire.
Okay.
As far as who I would hire, Bobby, do you want to go to Brady first?
So, honestly, I'm not really I really have no clue where they'll go because – like you said, they could go to pretty much any coach mm-hmm. in the nation and be like, hey, like we want you here. Mm-hmm. And more than likely, the coach is going to take it because it's just – it's the premier job with historical – just everything going for him. I really – I don't know. I think I would also want to go Dan Lanning. But if – I mean, I think he's going to stay true to what he said. Sounds like there's a lot of reasons that he wants to stay in Oregon. And honestly – Oregon's a great place too. I mean, they always have good recruiting and good draw to Oregon. So it could be good to try to make your own legacy at a different place. But I saw something about a flight to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they were talking about maybe Sonny Dykes, and I was like, no shot they would go there. That seems like such a random. Yeah, like that seems like such a random.
I think that's what they did. I think that's what they did before Saban, though. I think they hired a guy from TCU and it didn't go well. So that's probably the joke.
Yeah, so probably no there.
Yeah. That was back in the 90s, though. Obviously, Saban's been there so long. I mean, I don't
know. Yeah, he's been there so long. Yeah. But I thought that would be kind of a funny –
just out of nowhere.
Like, just out of nowhere. But also, his first year at TCU, I mean, he came in and made him a contender. And
yeah.
They lost everything pretty much to the draft and to graduation and so I don't know. I think that could be a fun hire if they were to go that route.
Is that who you would pick then? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think that's who I would pick. But I don't know. Like I said, I really have no clue who they'll go for. And I think Ashton had probably the best guess of who's going to go or who they're going to go with. But I was just throwing that name out there because I thought he did a great job his first year. This last year was pretty rough, but I also don't think he was working with a ton this last year.
All right. Who do you think, Ashton? Who would you pick?
I mean – people aren't going to like this name. I would say Dabo probably. But
I
don't think he's really changed with the times greatly, but he's the only coach you're going to get that's won multiple national championships. I'll say that.
Yeah, very true. And he played for Alabama,
he played for Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he probably wants to see him win, you know. And if he can win at Clemson, he can win at Alabama.
Do you see these students outside?
Yeah,
of,
I know.
Outside of the stadium,
that one's not
chanting anyone but Debo.
If I would say him or DeBoer, I guess is who I'd probably
pick. Bro DeBoer. Oh,
DeBoer.
Yeah, I think it's DeBoer. DeBoer.
Doesn't make sense.
It is. It's a hard name.
But. Just go back to the Bauer. People know what I'm talking about. Washington's coach. There you go.
I'm gonna put a link in Ashton's video, and you can read all the comments about them just roasting him.
Terrible.
It's a good video, though. Obviously, I knew you were gonna say Dabo. I agree with you. I think Dabo would be a great hire, just because Dabo is a championship coach, and also I think Bama is one of the few places you can get away with not using the transfer portal. Like he said, like I think I've got a quote here. Dabo says, "My transfer portal is right there in that locker room because if I'm constantly going out every year and adding guys from the transfer portal, I'm telling all those guys in the locker room that I don't believe in them and that I don't think they can play. We're not doing our jobs as coaches and recruiters if we're bringing in a bunch of transfers. So we just won't build our roster on transfers." And I think in most places that won't fly, like especially right now, but at Alabama, that flies. Alabama.
Five stars, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't need the transfer portal. You've got dudes in there. And if you tell them, hey, I believe in you, I think he I think he'd be just fine, you know, and I think that's one of the few places. So I think he would be a great hire. That's who I would hire also. And then if I didn't hire him, I would kind of under the radar kind of guy. Man, if you could get Leopold from Kansas, can you imagine what that dude would do if he had resources? Like Kansas was in the toilet and he's got them ranked 2 years in a row now. So, you know, I think this is such an important hire for Alabama because you're about to find out if it was all Saban or not. Mm-hmm. You know, like they might end up being good, but are they going to stay dominant, you know, stay dynasty level good? Mm-hmm. We're about to find out. And if you get the wrong hire, you're toast, you know?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully not. You know, a thing with Dabo is, right, does Alabama have a giant hill he can run down to lead the team on? Like, is he really going to leave that behind? That's part of his legacy there. So I don't know. But if I was going to say who I think I would go for, this is one of the few jobs that I think maybe they wouldn't want to leave is Steve Sarkisian. I think Texas is a great place to be. And so I think that's one place that maybe you might not be able to pull him from.
I bet they already tried. I bet they're not getting him.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
I feel
like it's probably Dan Lanning first and then Sarkisian second, and then now they're probably on their third guy and Washington coach.
I would probably agree, but I haven't heard Sarkisian come out and say no yet like Dan Lanning did.
Yeah, Dan Lanning's video got me hyped. I don't know if y'all saw that.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I watched it today.
But I think I'd go with him because I think he took a couple years there to figure out, I would say just figuring out how to be a head coach. And now I think he's figured it out. And if you could get him to come back to Alabama, I think that would be a pretty good hire. And he's coming off his best season as a head coach. And you might get Arch Manning. So,
yeah, obviously, I think you got
no shots at you, Ashton. I think he's a good coach.
I think he will go with him. Yeah. I mean, we know my thoughts on Sarkisian, so
that. But Ashton be like, bye bye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
I'll take DeBauer, you know. But anyways, I think if Sark wouldn't have left Bama, though, I think he would already, you know, like if he would have stayed as OC, I think he'd already be,
there.
But then I don't think he would have been as good of a hire, in my opinion.
True.
Because I don't think he would have gone through the years figuring out a coach job.
True. Very true.
Yeah, I think it's a good point.
What do y'all think of Kiffin before we move on?
Dude, I think that's a terrible one. I would not hire him. Like, I think he's a great offensive mind, but he's just kind of a loose cannon. And
I agree. I think
you never know what he's going to do.
Good fit where he is. So.
Yeah. He's got – and his
– Talk about using the transfer portal, though. That dude is raking it in right now.
I was about to say, what he just did there, I don't think he would – he would probably leave, but I don't think he would necessarily want to because he just brought in such
–
so much talent to Ole Miss. And,
which I guess – I mean, I guess they might not be able to pay him now, but I would say I guess if they were – committed to him, he'd be like, just go ahead and let's go to Bama.
Let's go. Yeah, maybe so, but.
But no, you're right, though. Yeah.
I don't know. I think if they get DeBoer, it's a good hire. Right now, I think he's got the odds in Vegas, which isn't that crazy? You can bet on who's the coach is going to be. Just bet on anything.
Insane.
But he's in the lead, and I think my favorite stat about him is he's 104-12 as a college football head coach. And I think a lot of those wins were at the NAIA level, but honestly, that might be more impressive because you lose a lot of the like advantages that you get in the FBS level. Like that's almost just pure coaching. So I say that I've never actually watched an NAIA game, but that's what I hear anyways. That's what I read. So
didn't you play for one of them?
a little baseball. It was Division II, Ashton. Come on now.
Well, I was trying to give you all some credit. I thought Brady was a quarterback for the Bower back in the day.
No. Too many knee injuries, man. Too soon.
Anyways, I think that's a good hire if they get him. I don't know if it's the slam dunk hire, but, you know, I don't know what that would be. Mm-hmm. You'll just have to wait and see. Like you said, I feel like anyone can be good at Alabama, but who knows who can be, like, great, who can keep the train going.
I'm kind of with you on that. Before I like the slam dunk hire, I don't really know if it's there, you know, because like you can't get Kirby or Harbaugh, I don't think so.
Right. You got to call Kirby, but
yeah, no, for sure.
He's probably not going to take it.
Yeah, because I think he played at Georgia. So I mean, I don't think he's leaving.
But I'm
with you on DeBoer, though. I think it's like the best, probably for sure, maybe guy you could get that I think he's like I think Lanning's not bad, but like multiple people have wanted Oregon, you know what I mean? So I think like what DeBoer's done this year, I thought was pretty impressive. But
I love how you haven't called him the same name once.
You just gotta rotate him out.
See what feels right. I love it.
Trying to see what gets the most, you know, fan interaction.
Yeah, engagement.
Yeah.
Well,
Deion.
Another thing we're talking about transfers. What do you say?
I'll say Deion.
Last one.
Sorry.
Dude, I think Deion would kill it at Alabama.
I don't think he'd do it very long.
I think he'd burn out.
Born A, baby. Yeah.
Like I think what Deion brings is not what Alabama needs, because Alabama already gets all the high prospects and all the high talent. Whereas like I think that's what Deion really brings to any job that he has right now.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not the X's and O's. Is that what you're implying there, Brady?
Yeah, I think he's a smart football guy, but yeah. I don't necessarily know if he's the best coach. And you definitely can bring in talent with him, but like I said, that's not really what Alabama needs. And so,
Well, I was going to say, just kind of to put a bow on it, I mean, who knows what happens now? Isn't there a 30-day window where these players can now transfer? Mm-hmm. And a crazy stat I heard is, I don't know about this year, but last year Alabama had 90% of their players, or scholarship players, were blue chip. So 4 or 5 stars. Mm-hmm. You know who's next closest? Ohio State with 85. But then after that, the next closest was Georgia at 76. So it's like Alabama's talent pool, like literally the most coveted players in all of the nation, are now just kind of open to like to like go anywhere, you know? Yeah. And so it's chaos. You have to – I think that this podcast I'm going to have to put out almost tonight, because – it's going to, they got to get coach quick. Otherwise these kids are going to start leaving. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think they've already offered Lanning, and I think they've already offered Sarkisian, and I think both of them turned it down. That's why they're moving on to their third guy. I think that's just speculation, obviously, but that's how I feel.
They acted like, from what I saw, I mean, I don't know, you know, I wasn't in the room or anything, but they acted like they told the players, like, just wait 72 hours and then make a decision after that or something. That's what I heard. But
I saw something about like, asking them to wait a couple, like a few days. I don't know how many days. I thought it might have been just 2 days. Like they felt pretty confident.
Yeah, I don't know how long you can wait, but you know.
Yeah, but it's like you only have 30 days. So as a player, it's like,
yeah, exactly.
If you don't have someone in that time frame, that's going to scare me. Like, honestly, as a player, that would scare me. They're not getting who they want.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think,
crucial. I'm surprised it hasn't happened already. Like, that means probably, that probably means you're right. Like, that. They turn them, you know, turn a couple down, I would imagine, but, or a couple turn them down, I mean. But,
yeah. Because I think what Brett was saying is true. It's crucial that they get someone soon, because the longer it takes, the more likely the players will be like, hey, they're on to like their third or fourth option now. I don't know. We'll see.
One last thing I'll just say, talking about how many blue chips they had, I was trying to think, and there's like not many players I could think of that transferred into Alabama this year. We were talking about like, you know, Milrow started there. Like, a lot of their guys are Bama dudes. Like, you know, just didn't just go out and get them or anything. Like, that's
because you don't have to. That's what,
exactly.
Dabo was a good hire.
Yeah.
True. But also, Saban might have known he was done, and he was like, I'm not messing with the transfer portal.
Yeah, and he did say that's last thing on Saban. Sorry. That it was becoming harder for him, like when recruits asking him, like, well, are you going to be here the whole, you know, 3 or 4 years? He said it was becoming harder for him to be like, for sure, yeah, you know. He was like, you know, I really don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe not. But, yeah, you're right, though, talking about how where the Bama team goes now, like, because all the top 10 schools are about to get an upgrade. All right, we need a safety. All right, come on down. You know what I mean?
And, yeah.
We need a quarterback. Well, Milrow, let's go. You know,
you did see in like Oregon's hype video there for Dan Lanning. They were like, "Hey, if you're afraid your coach is leaving, come to Oregon. I'm here for 10 years, baby."
Yeah,
well, it sounds like they're pretty cool. Caleb Downs, their safety's head to Ohio State, probably. So I'm good. You know, I'll take it. Yeah. Hey, Jalen Milrow's from Texas. You know, what I mean, come back home. You know, I'll take it.
Is that the guy you want from their team?
Well, I'm not saying from Texas. I'm saying, I think he's the best player. Yeah, Jalen Milrow. Yeah. I don't think he can throw, but he's the best athlete. I don't want him at Texas. We already got Quinn. But,
and I was going to say, y'all got Quinn and Arch. And you want Jalen Milroe to come take the job?
No, yeah, I would take him over him, but we'll go. We don't need to go down the road.
All right, yeah, that's for
a Texas school.
That's for your podcast because that's
I was playing a Texas school. You know.
Yeah. Okay. I get that.
Yeah. Well, we would take him, I think.
Probably.
But you saying that Saban probably thought this was his might be his last year that he was going to retire. I would say the fourth down play quarterback sneak might have also signaled that. He said, nah, I'm out of here, guys. Yeah. This is a boomer bust, fourth down, quarterback sneak. And then, boy, their poor center, man. It was struggling all night against Michigan, trying to get that ball to Milroe. I mean, it's crazy to see a Bama team that was struggling with that late in the season. It's crazy. Honestly, I think this might have been one of Saban's best coaching jobs in general, just getting this team to the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, when I said that, I think on our chat, like the Discord chat, like, and I'm even a Texas fan, but I was like, they lost at home to Texas, which gives me, like, I don't know. It's just weird to me. Non-Alabama, like, you know what I mean? Like, which they did improve since then, I thought, but like, but that attributes to what you're saying though. Like, I thought it was one of his better coaching jobs, because, which is weird to say, because we talk about how loaded Alabama is, but it's like, some of these guys, yeah, you don't have a center, you know, it's insane to me.
Oh, but the game itself was pretty fun. I mean, back and forth.
Yeah. Well, and then Michigan dropping that punt at the end, I was like, you're about to safety right here. It's over.
Well, I mean, Bama scored first, and I thought, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Bama going to win another playoff game. And I know in the last podcast, we kind of dogged Michigan. I'll give you this, Ashton. I'll give you credit, man. You weren't on it, yeah. And also, like, just watching your videos, you were all over it. You were like, hey, I think whoever wins that game is going to win the whole thing. Yeah. And we were just not giving Michigan a shot because
they were number one in my
preseason. I've never seen Michigan win big games, and they did it back to back. So,
yeah.
You know, I give him props now. You know, I'll believe in him for a while.
Yeah.
I still don't believe.
Got a national championship. Brady's like, no.
It was a down year.
Should have put they got later Georgia. Yeah. No,
I love that they
Georgia
won.
Georgia or Florida State got that dub.
It's just good to see a new team win, even if it Michigan. Yeah. I mean, Michigan hadn't won since I was like one, maybe 2 years old. Been a while.
Need to cheat to get there, but it's okay. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know. If you're not cheating, you're not trying, apparently. Yes.
But that's just so weird to me. Like, not that they cheated. Like, I know that goes on everywhere. Like, I'm surprised. But they suspend him for, like, Harbaugh. Like, he's suspended at the beginning of the year for something else at the end of the year. But you're going to get to come back for the championship.
For the big games. Yeah.
Okay. Right. But it's they like, beat Ohio State without him, so I guess they got what they needed to do, you know.
But
it's still just weird to me. I don't know.
This might be the first time I've ever caught myself cheering for Alabama. I was watching them against Michigan, and I was like, man, I just don't think they're that good. And I was just – I was cheering for Alabama. Then Alabama lost, and I was like, man, maybe they're good. And then, you know, the week or however long in between their next game, I was like, no, they aren't good. That Alabama team just wasn't good. And so I don't know what it is. Maybe I just
– It's J.J. McCarthy. You don't like J.J. McCarthy.
It is J.J. McCarthy.
Very different style.
But, you know.
Dude, he had the best play of the playoffs.
Yeah.
The trick play where they threw back to him and he snagged it one-handed and then fadeaway for like 50 yards. Yeah. I was like, that was maybe the most athletic play I've seen all year.
That catch was impressive, though.
The catch was awesome. And then to fade away while you're getting tackled and throw it 40 yards on a dime, I was like – it's the best play I've ever seen him make. And then in the championship game, he had to throw it like five times the whole game. So,
no, I think he's better, but I would say like kind of Stetson Bennett-ish, you know, like he's just a winner, you know, like he does what he needs to do. And their team around him, I think, was pretty good this year. But
I think he's got a pretty strong arm. Like, I don't think he's, I think he's better than Stetson Bennett.
Well, no, I think I just meant as far as like, you know, like he's a winner. No, he's definitely better than Bennett, I think.
He's a game manager.
Yeah.
You know, who said that? Cam Newton? He's a game manager.
Yeah. Which did you see his winning percentage or whatever? Like, besides Winston, he's like the second or third highest ever.
His only losses to TCU.
Yeah, that's true. I think
once again, another reason for me to not think he's
lost to Max Duggan, man.
Yeah.
Max Duggan.
Well, Brady, that's a good stat. You realize that, right? He's never lost except for the one playoff game.
He's only lost to Max Duggan. I don't even know if it's TCU. Like, he lost to Max Duggan. I'll just put it that way.
Okay, I respect that. But
Sonny Dykes, man, your Alabama pick. Come on now. Put some respect. Next Alabama coach, Sonny Dykes. Come on now.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know, man. He starts off that playoff game and he turns it over. And I was just like, you know what?
Yeah. Threw that pick on the sidelines.
This is classic JJ. He's only lost one game, but this is classic JJ.
Whenever I saw that, oh my gosh, this is about to be a long game, right?
This is going back to the Alabama team not being the usual Alabama team. Mm-hmm. I feel like if they do that in any other year,
he's not stepping out of bounds.
Like you're done.
He was stepping out of bounds.
You're right.
So it didn't actually count. That's why I was like, oh wow.
Or he was like already out of bounds, and I can't remember what it was.
Came back in. So it didn't count.
McCarthy knew. I forgot about that. Out of bounds. Let me just throw it right at him. You know.
In my head, I was like, yeah, he just did the same thing as he did against TCU. Just starts off the game with the pick. Yeah, you're right. It got called back.
He was just that smart.
When it happened, I was like, this is textbook right here. Sorry, JJ. I try not to hate on college players because I want everyone to make it to the NFL because I know how hard it is. But I don't know. I feel like he just has the benefit of a great team and he's just able to make it run. Which takes time, but that takes skill also.
And I will say, I think what won this game was the trenches. Like Alabama could not block them in the beginning of the game. Like, Milroe was running for his life, getting sacked almost immediately as he caught the ball. I was blown away by their defensive line in both games, really. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that they won the trenches in both games, and that's why they won the whole thing. Those big men up front were good.
Yeah, their defense was loaded, and that's kind of what I thought going into the game. I was like, if they can get a hit on Milroe, you know, because nobody ever really gets a shot on him because he's pretty fast, you know. They just started drilling him.
Yeah. Sacked him five times in the first half. That's nuts. I mean,
they got Slider, a defensive coordinator. You know, he's dialing up the heat.
That's
a bit of an inside shoot. Anything else on that in that Bama Michigan game? Fun game. I mean, coming down to the last play is all you can ask for in a game where I didn't really care who won that much. So,
I mean, I thought it would be a good game, probably. Like, I was glad to see it was good because you never know with these. Like, you think it'll be a good game, that ends up being a blowout, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's really no telling. So I was glad it was a good game at least.
Same.
Yeah, I would say this was probably my favorite, like, all-around playoff year. I just felt like all the games were pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other game, let's get into it then, the Texas versus Washington game. Ashton, I don't know, do you want to give a monologue before we start? Okay. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, you kick us off here.
Let's see. Okay, well, what could not go wrong? Let's see. What could we have done better? Let's see. About everything, you know? So it seemed like, well, first off, we couldn't lay a finger on Penix. I think I could have thrown for 300 yards back there.
Dude, like, he was so comfortable back there.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not even a quarterback. I think I could have thrown for over 250 yards that game. Like, they had no pressure on him. Like, because I don't even know if that was halfway on the secondary. It was, but also, like, no pressure.
He was
Exactly. Well, that's the problem. Like, our D tackles are good. Texas's D tackles are good. Run stoppers, they're huge, but pass wise, they ain't gonna do nothing. You know, you can run circles around them. But yeah, it's like every time we started coming back, we'd fumble the ball. We got a kick returner that has one hand. I don't know if y'all saw that. The kick returner had a cast on him. That's what I was like. I turned to the person watching to it next to me. Like, am I? What am I watching? I was like, it's freaking semifinals. We're full of 4 and 5 stars. What the heck are we doing? I don't care how good he is. You know, I don't care if it's Tyreek Hill back there. If he's got a cast on, I ain't putting him back there. You know, so what is going on here? And then he dropped the ball and picks it up with one hand. I was like, oh my gosh. We know what I think of the head coach, but anyways, anytime it's like we could start coming back, you know, fumble the ball or something. And with all that being said, somehow we had a shot to win the game at the end of the game. You know, it was like somehow due to an injury, we get the ball back. And then somehow, we've got 4 chances or whatever from the 10 to win the game. It was just, crazy to me.
Bizarre end.
Yeah, because I was pretty sure with, 5 minutes left, it was like, it's over. You know, there's no no shot here. And then
you and everyone else, we were somehow, they were up two possessions. Washington was up two possessions.
Insanity, man. And then probably as bad as they played, probably should have won the game because, like I've said, you got three or four shots at the end there.
Quinn had four shots at the end zone at the Washington 12-yard line with 15 seconds left. Misses three passes in a row, and the final one, that fade, just got knocked away.
Yeah,
by their less good corner, Jackson, I think is his name. And I thought for sure Mitchell was going to catch that because that's like he's big game Mitchell, man. He's scoring in those playoff games almost every year he's played. So he's a stud.
That's his signature.
I'm with you. It was crazy, man. If you're the running back, unless your leg is broken, you got to get up and get off the field.
The fact that he literally came back,
I'm like, dude,
did he get carted off or
no? He walked off.
If you played, you can't do that.
You just gave Texas 20 seconds on the clock.
I honestly don't care if it's broken. I'm hopping off.
I mean, it was crazy. I'm like, get up, dude. Oh. I mean, at first I'm like, oh, he must be really hurt if he's not getting up. And then for him to walk off the field, I'm his teammate. Yeah. I'm like,
dude, and play the next week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To be fair,
luckily for him,
didn't realize. Yeah, he probably didn't realize how much it was like.
Yeah, what it was costing. Yeah.
Yeah, what the situation really was like. Honestly,
you gotta know the situation.
I was questioning. I was like, is this gonna give Texas more time, or are they gonna run the clock? But because it's an injury timeout,
your team has to call that timeout. So like
they
take a timeout from Washington. So
yes, it's legitimate timeout. Sorry, that's what I was saying is that I forget it's an actual timeout because isn't it that way until it's under 2 minutes?
Well, it's
or something?
It's either that or I think Texas can choose a 10-second runoff or something, or like they have to have Washington call a timeout or something is the I think the exact rule. But yeah, I think you're right though on the 2 minute thing. Like it's different in the last whatever.
Right.
And so he probably just didn't realize that it's going to actually stop the clock. Yeah. And when you're in pain, like, let's be honest, you just had probably sweat fall on your ankle and he's like 500 pounds on you. And it's just, I can't imagine that personally.
The giant man sweat, not like actually sweat from your leg.
The defensive line.
Drip of sweat fall on you.
Drip of sweat falls on you. It's killer. But, I bet in his mind he was not thinking this is going to stop the clock. He's thinking I might have just broke my ankle. And so I can understand it a bit.
Yeah.
In retrospect, it's a lot easier. I bet you right now since they won, it doesn't matter. If they would have lost after the game, he would be like, man, I'm such an idiot. I should have just gotten off the field. But I said, I just don't think that's going through your mind at that point of time.
Well, again, luckily for them, they won, so he doesn't have to relive that.
Yeah.
I feel like we should talk about Penix a little more just because of how good he played. Like, literally, it might have been the best college QB performance I can remember. Like, he was throwing to his stud receivers, but he was throwing them open. Like, they were pretty covered. Like, I'm with you. I don't think a lot of it was on your secondary. Like, he was throwing just perfect passes right in the pocket on deep throws. He had six passes of at least 20 yards. And then Odunze, talk about not being able to say the word.
Yeah, Odunze, I don't know.
Yeah,
don't ask me.
I can't say it either, but he's an awesome receiver. He's fun to watch. And he had 125 yards, and then Polk had 122 yards. And he was just, I mean, like you said, you could have been a quarterback. I think I could have been a receiver on that team the way he was throwing the ball. Like, he was just darting it. And that one throw where he threw it, he threaded the needle right down the middle between like three defenders right to the end zone, like right next to the official. And I was like, that is one of the best throws I've ever seen. And he throws left-handed. Normally it looks goofy. I think it looks beautiful how he throws it. I don't know. I don't know what he does different, but it looks good coming out of his hand. So just loved that game by him. Wish he could have followed it up a little better.
Yeah, I thought like y'all said, the corners and just your secondary played a lot better than – I had seen previously. I felt like going back all the way to the y'all versus Kansas, I felt like if Kansas had a better deep ball thrower, I thought they would have beat you because I thought Kansas had people just running free on the back end. And So going into the game, I was thinking about that and how Penix is a great deep ball thrower. And I was like, this could be really bad. And then Penix was a great deep ball thrower, but y'all secondary was right on him. And like Brett said, he was putting it right in their basket. And it was really fun to watch.
I can't imagine how infuriating it would be though, as a Texas fan to watch.
Very, yeah. But like Brady said, I'm kind of used to it this year. You know, it's like lack of pass rush and lack of coverage, you know. And really, I don't know, like they're good at run stopping, but like you just look at their D-line, they're just so much bigger than like D-lines are nowadays, you know.
Yes.
D-ends look like D-tackles now, you know.
You're right. They are run stoppers.
But you're good, but you got to have like a, you know.
You got to be able to mix it up. You got to have some guys that can pass.
Yeah, or have at least D-ends that can, you know, like Von Miller type, you know, like smaller type of D-ends that can get after it, you know. But
yeah, just if you can just have a Von Miller or something.
Well, you know, that could be so easy. Could all be so simple.
I'm just messing. I get what you're saying, yes.
Those guys play for Saban.
Yeah, they get stolen out of Texas. Not for long.
Not for long. Any other things you want to talk about with that game?
No, it was good.
Another good game. Another game that came down to the last play.
I mean, overtime and then, that coming down to the last play of the game. I mean, yeah, you can't really.
Can't ask for more. It was a great
At least you didn't night of do a QB sneak for the last play. So
I mean, it might have been better when we did. I don't know. Like that little.
Dude,
that
honestly, if Quinn throws that to the pylon, that's a touchdown.
Yeah. I think it's because he's getting rushed. You know, like you can't.
Yeah, it is 100%. 100%.
Before we move on, sorry, last one. That fake toss. What the heck was that?
What was? I don't know, dude. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Sarkisian, what are you doing? Hire an OC.
How can you be mad at him? He got you to the playoffs. I don't think he lost y'all that game. I think your lack of pass rush lost y'all that game.
I will say, interesting, last thing on Sark. Not even saying necessarily him there, but like I saw something saying since besides Jimbo Fisher, like nobody since then with Jameis has won a national championship calling plays and being the head coach. Like nobody has done it besides.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah.
So, just an interesting stat to me. Like even if you're a good play caller, you should probably hand it over. Yeah, delegate it.
That's an interesting thought. It'd be hard for me to do that though if I thought I could call plays better than
other people. I just think on that one, like the stats probably back it up, you know. Like
yeah.
And when you call that play, I mean, sorry. Just kidding.
Well, and then we had the championship game, and it wasn't as good. It was not bad. But, I think Edwards broke a couple of runs early, and I thought, this might get out of hand because he just looks so much faster than the Washington defense. Like, he broke that second level past the linebackers, and, I mean, he made the safeties look slow. So, but luckily they kind of bottled him up, and the offense, honestly, it felt very Big Ten-y in the second half. Like, not much happening, a lot of punts. And, like, early in the first half – when Penix missed a wide open pass to Dunze, I was like, I think they're going to lose. Like, he was nails the game before. And this one, he just wasn't. And again, personally, I think it's just because the Michigan D-line was so good. You know, like, Penix had always had so much time to throw all season. Mm-hmm. Like, that offensive line won the Offensive Line of the Year award because of how good and how much they protected him. And they only gave up one sack that championship game. But Penix just looked super uncomfortable, and he was taking shots all night. And tell he was off his game. Yeah, he was jumpy too. Like, you could tell he was throwing it before he wanted to. He was throwing high, and I think that when quarterbacks throw high, it's because they're releasing too quick. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like
they're not falling through
exactly because they're afraid of getting hit, and understandably so because he was getting laid out. I think that was obviously just what happened there.
Yeah, I agree, and that kind of That's going to change you just sitting back in the pocket when you're getting drilled every other play, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
makes you rush it a little bit. And with they didn't really have a run game at all because they can't push around Michigan, let alone with a back, you know.
Yeah, with their running back hurt.
Running back that was on his deathbed the game before, you know. So, and their O-line, like they're good, but kind of small, like skinnier, you know what I mean? So they're not going to be able to bully around Michigan or nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like you said, that's kind of the result that happens whenever your quarterback gets hit, even if it's not sacks. It's just he looked, like y'all said, jumpy, and he's not used to getting hit every play. And so Texas's lack of defensive line also might have, or pass rush, it might have made that championship game even harder for him, because he just came off of a game where he was just getting to sit back and do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the next game, every throw you're getting hit, whether it's on release or right after you release it, and that just changes your whole mindset. And like you said, he's getting jumpy. It was fun to watch, but it was painful as a former QB who got hit a lot, not having an offensive line. I had some flashbacks of just getting leveled back there. So
that was the final game of the four team format in college football. How'd y'all feel about this year? What do you think? You think they ended up getting it right?
I thought they did. I mean, if I was a Florida State fan, I'd be mad, you know, understandably so. Now, do I think Georgia could have beat a lot of the teams? Probably, but they lost to Bama, so they didn't, you know, you lost the game, you had a chance to. So, yeah, I thought they, yeah. Now, if the Florida State thing happened to a team I'm a fan of, though, yeah, I'd be pretty frustrated, but I think it would have been bad TV, probably. I mean, you know, it would have been TCU versus Georgia, probably, is what it would have been. But
maybe. Or Georgia versus anyone other than Ohio State that year, probably.
There you go.
But I think it really showed why we need the 12-team format, because there's always going to be someone on the outside looking in, and they're going to be mad. But you should never have an undefeated team on the outside looking in. And I kind of agree with Ashton, like, that could have been the right teams to put in there. Georgia probably could have beat a few of those teams in there. But I think just from the principle of playing football, if you are undefeated, you have to make it.
Yeah.
Especially playing Power 5 conference games every single week. And so I think it kind of just exposed why we need more teams. And I think going forward, there's going to be a lot of angry people, because it's going to be probably even more gray trying to decide what a two-loss team deserves to be in. But I'd rather have a two-loss team complaining about it than an undefeated team sitting on the outside looking in. So I don't think it makes the decision on the last spot any easier, but I do think it makes the whole just better, in my opinion.
I was real mad about it, obviously, in the last episode. And Florida State starters sitting for their bowl game made me feel better about the decision the committee made. Cause I'm like, if those guys didn't care enough to play and try to prove them wrong, then I guess I don't either. You know, like I'm all right with what happened. And I'm glad that that's not going to keep happening. You know, this is the last year we'll have to worry about that. Like you said, Brady.
Yeah.
Overall though, the last 10 years of the college football playoffs, I'm glad they happened. I will say it didn't always produce the best games. Like up here until the end, the games have been pretty rough. These last 2 years are pretty good, except for the TCU-Georgia game. And so I think that
– But don't forget that J.J. McCarthy lost to TCU right before that. So
I agree.
And that's more for everyone listening, because people seem to forget that game happened.
I don't know. I'm glad it happened, because it's going to get us to the 12-team playoff. And I also understand people are talking about how it's going to make the regular season matter less. And in a way, I'm almost like, we might want to take the championship games out of it's hard to do, because now there's more teams in a conference. So like not everyone's playing everyone, but like this year, the SEC championship game between Georgia and Alabama would have been for seeding. And, you know, that's not quite as – I think it'll matter still, because in the pros it matters. You know, like people still in the pros, they still play those games because they know it matters. And as long as you can make those seedings matter, then I think those games are important still. But obviously that is what people are worried about. I think it's a worthy sacrifice, because I think 12 teams need to be in. I've kind of changed my stance on the group of five team. I don't think we need a group of five team in there every year, especially with the way that things are going, where the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be so top heavy that I still think we need Big 12 ACC representation in there. So I'm excited for the new playoff formats. I'm glad the four team playoff happened, gave us some good games, gave us some real trash games, but I think it helped the sport.
Nah, yeah, that was good. I'm a little skeptical on 12 team, or
I've been like what you said about the depleting what the games mean, I guess, a little bit. But with that being said, watching kind of what's happened to bowl season, I'm not completely against it because,
If Florida State can't get their starters to play for the Peach Bowl, is 5-6 teams,
like Ohio State, our starting quarterback transferred, you know, I was like, okay.
Right.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, it probably would be Missouri if we had, you know, a quarterback that could play. You know?
If our team was there still playing. Yeah.
Exactly. It was just like watching what's happened to bowl season. That's kind of made me be more okay with it, I guess.
Honestly, the mid-tier bowls are better than the big bowls. Yeah, you know, the mid-tier bowls, because everyone's playing, you know?
Yeah, because the big bowls, it's watching the practice squad. I mean, it's not something I have really interest in. There's one more thing I was going to say. The automatic conference champion, you know, with how they're doing it now, as far as whoever wins the Big Ten is in, you know, as a top four seed or whatever. I liked more before what they're doing now. Now they're just putting the best two teams in the bowl, like as far as the championship game, your conference championship. So, like, not as far as East or West, but if Michigan and Ohio State have the best record, they're going to play again, you know, in the Big Ten championship. So I thought it would have meant more if, like, you know, Iowa's got four losses, but if they somehow win, they're in the playoff. You know, like, I think that would mean more than, you know, having Michigan and Ohio State play again in the championship when, like you said, it's a seeding game. You know, I think it would mean more if it was still East and West and a bunch of divisions. You know what I mean? That way, somehow a five-loss team can
find a way in.
Yeah, exactly.
The way I would do it almost is have, like, all those games, like you said, have those divisions. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to the end, you have those teams that won their championship game or whatever, and then almost reseed them based on. I think that would be good TV.
Like NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha. So. Yeah. One more thing. Sorry. I saw because they're trying to change it to where, I guess, because the Pac-12's leaving, so right now they have, like, five automatic qualifiers plus the group of five, and apparently they haven't voted to do that yet. So as of right now, it would mean, like, two group of five schools are going to be in.
Yeah.
Like, two group of five schools are going to be in the playoff as of right now. It's probably going to change, but –
they'll change. They'll change.
As of right now, though, that's what that would be.
Right now, Washington State and Oregon State's what are their leaders called?
Athletic director, commissioner.
Yeah, they have to vote yes to making that change, and they haven't, but they know that they need to if they want to join another conference.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like,
we can wait a couple years. Yeah, we can wait a couple years. Yeah, that changed my
– I think it'll change before the next –
no, it will. 100%.
The next playoff, yeah.
It changed my playoff prediction the other day, though, because I had to include two group of five scores when I was making it. So, yeah, Memphis and – Liberty again, I guess, to get pounded. I don't know.
I'm excited, though, man. I can't wait to cover next year. Y'all got anything y'all want to wrap it up with?
If Iowa makes the playoffs, I'm going to throw up. Thanks for putting that image in my head, Ash.
You're welcome. It's quality defense, baby. That's Big Ten football. You know they're often bad when Michigan beats the crap out of them.
I just love the whole saga this year of their – offense coordinator having a certain point threshold and him never reaching it.
You know how tough that's got to be, though. My son sucks as an offense coordinator.
I don't want to fire him. I'm just going to build in this clause into his contract.
Yeah, I'm not going to fire you, but hey, if you don't score 10 points a game, you're gone. But, you know,
man.
And you're just cheering for your defense to score touchdowns.
Yeah, trying to help him out.
That counts towards his
pick six. Come on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We get some good field position here.
Defensive players are kneeling before they get to the end zone because they don't want him back.
They're catching it and running back towards their own end zone. Sorry, coach. Momentum took me an extra 10 yards. Sorry.
How weird would it be to be an Iowa fan where you're winning all the time, but it's just miserable to watch? You're always like.
Yeah, I mean, because, you're guaranteed 8 or 9 wins probably. But, it's just going to be like, holy crap. This is tough.
At what point do you just start punting the ball when you get it?
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, let's get some good.
Put them in the corner. Yeah. Put him at the one. Get the best punter in the nation. Put him at the one.
Turnovers. See if we can get some safeties.
A lot of safeties. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Iowa football, crazy stuff. All right. Well, thanks for joining. As always, enjoyed it. And everyone, thanks for listening. give us a 5-star rating and you know, share and all that stuff. And check out Ashton's YouTube channel. It's growing. He's big time now. So thank him for joining the podcast. But all right. See y'all.